Hey guys, Dan Murray here, and with a very special edition of the podcast. This comes from my most recent CEO mastermind session, where one of my clients, a lady by the name of Kat, is going to talk about how she scaled her business by 10x. Now, what's interesting is Kat's business was below the normal revenue threshold, i.e. we made an exception for the rule to let her join the program. She was only at multi-six-figure revenues. And it looks like our bet paid off right, because she went from 10 grand a month to 100 grand a month in her first 8 or 9 months in the program. And this involves everything about marketing, lead generation, and some very, very special use of technology and AI, which is really cutting edge. So with all that said, let's get to the episode.
For those that don't know, tell us about your business and what you do.
Okay, so between myself, Nikki, and our business partner, Amy, who can't be with us, but she was the one holding the baby yesterday, if you saw her. So we run Pause Therapy Dogs. We help four different markets, really. Schools introducing therapy dogs into their school. Counsellors and therapists in sort of clinical practice with therapy dogs in that regard. Dog trainers who want to take their own dog and train their own dog to be a therapy dog and then have paid opportunities in schools, in care homes, in lots of other places. And then our most recent program launch is in the assistance dog market. So that's our B2C area for folks who need, you know, if they've got physical disabilities or mental health issues where they need assistance from the dog.
Very good. And now, just for those who know, this isn't a dog-specific program. We just crossed into two dog-related businesses back-to-back. And it's about business growth, because, I mean... Let's lead with a fact, Kat, that will cause hopefully everybody in this room to pay attention, because you joined the program
this time last year.
This time last year, and you were below our relatively significantly below our average size in joining the program. So, for context, just to show how impressive your growth has been, what was your revenue this time or at the start of 2023? And yeah. Then where did you get to, what was your kind of high monthly revenue last year?
So we snuck in, is the truth, into Mastermind. We didn't meet your minimum target of revenue. Last year, in January, we did 13 grand that month, February 18.
So gross revenue was 13,000?
Yeah, yeah, for the good. Month, yeah.
And then where did you get to last year?
Yeah, so last year, in October, we did 100 grand.
And it's all around just delivery cap. So
sorry.
13,000 to £100,000 in a single month. Round of applause.
We aim for 20% quarter-on-quarter growth, but we are smashing it. So from quarter three last year to quarter four, we did 51%. We'll beat that again.
Yeah, so this is a business that is growing rapidly. And so with that, obviously, has come an increase, relatively significant in team size. You were at three people. How many people are you at now?
Yeah, so it was the three of us last year, at the start of last year, and now we have 10 employed folk and about 30-ish, just over 30 freelancers.
Yeah, very good. So there's a bit, business has gone from kind of low six-figure revenues to smashing through seven-figure revenues and very profitable doing so. So significant growth, but profitable in maintaining that. So let's talk about how you did it. Give me one of your key strategies. I know there's three or four, but...
Yeah, so I've just picked a few things that are like what I would consider the cool stuff that maybe you guys could implement. And you know, they're not dog related, thank goodness. So so one thing we did was build a quiz funnel. So Dan, you use Score App for sort of... We all use Score App yesterday, right? In the audit. Well,
is it? I hate to be ticky. It's not actually Score App.
Oh, it's better than that now, right?
Well, side note for those that care, Score App, which we spoke about in the past, that my friend Daniel Priestley, I'm an investor in Score App, but I became an investor because we were already building it, and my tech guy refuses to use Score App, so the one they used yesterday was our custom built one, just for transparency and disclosure. I'm still trying to get them to use BuddyScore app, but anyway. So yes,
it's a pretty cool technology.
That methodology called asking quiz to filter leads and qualify leads and then assign follow up to them. So yes.
Yeah, so the quiz funnel is does your dog have what it takes to become a therapy dog? So we put Facebook ads on it. We ask a bunch of questions about the dog's behaviour and temperament and a bunch of things. We rank the so score app ranks them, so if they get sort of below a certain percentage, then we point them and into sort of some training recommendations.
Put your dog into a shelter.
rehome and start again. No, we don't do that. We just point them into another direction on training recommendations, and then if they get sort of a mid-range percentage or a high percentage, we sort of point them in the direction to apply for a program.
Perfect. Now, I love this. So you're talking about attracting leads, qualifying leads, so you now know who the leads are. So put your resources on, Jay. As in the most qualified leads, or most qualified dogs, you could say, in this instance, to put your people resources and your more expensive resources on that. So how much money did you spend on ads towards this funnel? And then what was the return on? Let's give us a punchline first, and then we can be more specific about how we got there.
Okay, so we haven't done this very, very much. It was like one of those, we built it, we got excited, we moved on, did something else. So we spent £2,397 on ads.
So you basically put a little bit of money towards ad spend. Yep.
Really tiny. So far from the quiz funnel, we've made £35,000.
Good, so like a 15x return on ad spend. Not bad. Go round of applause for that. Okay, so what did you learn from that? Or what would you say the key takeaways are that you'd encourage people in here to think about?
So all of our programs, so we have at least four funnels, and all of them were direct to application. So we were taking people from Facebook and Google and, mainly those two places, and directing them into have a look at the sales video on sales page and apply if you want to. The quiz funnel kind of went a bit higher up the funnel, so it was more top of funnel. So we were getting lots more people, much cheaper leads. So our lead cost on that average is at 58 pence a lead, whereas elsewhere it's like into £5, £6, £7, £8. So we need to do a better job at nurturing those people, but clearly it's working already, right? So we will add more. So we're only using email follow-up, but we want to incorporate WhatsApp follow-up as well into that because we know it works elsewhere.
If I just pause you there for a second, Gap. The thing I want to emphasise, like Kat said, we're not even doing it that well. And this is why it seems contrarian. This is one of these opposing thoughts, Ricky, that I mentioned yesterday, where it's kind of like, on the one hand, we don't want to be wasteful, we want to focus on what's working, but there's always going to be a little bit of your energy looking for the new opportunity. Because sometimes you'll test something, and even if you do it poorly, the returns are so dramatic that you're going to go, holy crap, now we can lean in more heavily. So effectively what Kat, Amy and Nikki did is they put a little bit of ad spend, they threw something up and gave it a try, and then clearly got an unbelievable return, even though they'd nowhere near gotten close to optimising what do they do. And this is the same with Paul, you and Chris, like, talking about what you guys were doing with your kind of lead gen funnel. It's kind of going, okay, well, you can have it. And then all of a sudden, when you dive into how do you work those leads in the follow-up, whether or not it's more personalised follow-up, which is an example that Darren gave, or whether or not it's for the higher quality leads, depending on your business model, Lisa, putting human resource for making the higher price point sales, right?
Yeah. It was that. We just put it together, threw it out, and then when we reviewed it, we went, like, holy crap, there's something in this that we've really got to do more with.
Perfect. All right, yeah. So give us another one, because you have...
Yeah, we've got...
You 10x'd your revenue... last year, or actually that's a little bit misleading to be fair, that's the low to the high point, but still, overall, yep, we're up, whatever it is, the average is up at 7 or 8x, or it's very, very significant. So give us another strategy. So you did a great job with the score app.
Yeah, so WhatsApp has been really, really good for us. So if you're not using WhatsApp in any of your follow-up right now, I really encourage you to do that. So it's been game-changing for us.
So I'm curious, what were you doing before, and then what caused you to go, actually, we need to test this?
So we have a sales team, an enrolment team. We drive applications through Facebook and Google, mainly. They follow up with phone calls and emails to reach our applicants. We also use Calendly so they can book their own calls in. And we have automated sequences to take someone from submitting their application to booking their own call. And we started using WhatsApp in not just the from application to book their own call, but even following the call. So if they had to have a follow-up call, for instance, they've got to go in, find some funding or think about it or whatever else, we've just started using WhatsApp in all of the follow-up.
What triggered that idea? Was it you saw somebody else doing it? Was it that you just felt was the percentage of people that are picking up the phone calls decreasing? What caused you to go, actually, this is worthy of a test?
Because we were only using two methods of reaching someone, so phone or email, email still gets okay open rates if you've got good subject line and whatever, but WhatsApp is like a whole different playing field, because WhatsApp is your like it's more personal communication, so you don't really get like business stuff on WhatsApp, do you? You get stuff from your friends or people you know, or you know, business colleagues or whatever. So you've got to know them for them to WhatsApp usually.
Excuse me, down the microphone.
So we just went, you know what, we need to reach people in a different way, not just in phone calls and hit voicemails and emails that don't get answered.
Right. So what form did it take? Is it literally somebody on the WhatsApp platform typing messages to the leads?
It's automated as part of our follow-up sequence. So in that, we use HubSpot for that, for pipeline. So it's built in. So depending on what happens, so if somebody books their own discovery, you know, if they apply but don't book a discovery call, they'll get a sequence of emails and WhatsApps and phone calls from us. Depending on what action they take, it's a bit behavioural response, then we'll send different communications to them. But WhatsApp for us was also great for reigniting prospects. So we send broadcast WhatsApps as well for people who we can't reach or we want to let them know about something new. And the response rate is phenomenal.
Yeah, tell me about the efficacies, because you said game-changing, which is quite a big statement.
Yeah.
So what kind of results did it produce? You've added it. They've added a third media type, kind of going, oh, we're doing email, we're doing phone calls, they're still doing those things, but they've added in WhatsApp as a different media type. But what does game changing mean? Like, what were the results? How did it work?
So in a broadcast we did a week or two ago, we sent about 326 WhatsApps in one broadcast. They all got the same message, but it's personalised with their first name and their dog's name and that sort of thing. We had 140 odd responses in a day.
Wow!
From that, I mean, and that's. You wouldn't get that from email.
But what was that, like a request for a discovery call? What was it?
Yeah, people just replying to us, because, you know, if you WhatsApp and we use your first name and we know a bit about you and we input those merge fields, then you're going to think it's a personal communication and you reply, right? So we get a lot of very fast responses and we can get back to them quickly.
Yes. So even though that was broadcast, so it's a leverage, presumably then as soon as you get a response, then they get a...
It's personalised.
They get a human?
Yeah, they get a human at that point.
Right, so the sales team or the enrolment team jump on the lead to that point?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, love it. Great. Very good. Any final nuggets?
There's a few. So one of the other things we learned in February, so when we launched our assistance program, we completely changed the positioning of, they booked their own discovery call. In the assistance dog program, we call it an interview. So, and we talk about getting their application accepted or becoming accepted onto the program rather than them enrolling themselves, essentially. So we've just rolled that sort of positioning and that language out across all of our programs, because it's just made such a wild difference to, like, we get a lot less no-shows. We get people who are selling us on why they should be in the program.
Yes. We
get people telling us that it's going to change their life and that they need this. We get more people who want to pay in full rather than payment plan. So it's been pretty.
Yeah, I love it. So, and that was done by a shift of positioning from rather than you trying to sell to them to more trying to create an environment where they're actually trying to sell to you.
Yeah. And the application questions we ask are slightly different now. So we've tweaked the questions to say, you know, tell us why you'd like or why you want an assistance dog, who that will benefit, and why you should be accepted onto the program. So even at the point of application, they're selling us on the idea of them joining.
Yes, and I suppose, and correct me if I'm mistaken, but often when that happens, not only does your sales well, clearly your sales volume has increased, and but you can often correlate that with a price increase, and the caliber of customers that you're working with has increased. So there's a little smile there. What was that smile?
So we had a program that it was a sort of volunteer program, and we launched it last year. On the face of it, it looked good. We had loads of applicants, hundreds of applicants a week. It made our sales team look really busy. And we got quite a few enrolments, to be fair, but several hundred enrolments. But actually, it was a bit of a red herring for us because the quality of the applications wasn't always great. The sales team ended up sort of chasing them a lot. When Nikki's delivering training and working with our mentor team, the commitment isn't really there from those people, or they were bringing a lot of problems to supervision calls. So we killed that program and stopped recruiting. We just stopped marketing it, and we launched assistants instead, which is serving the same kind of folks, right? But for nearly 500% increase on price and just a very different caliber that we're attracting.
So say more about that, because again, not necessarily the specifics of the difference of the product, but if you didn't catch that, it was kind of like we tried a product or we were doing one particular program, and at the first, the inquiries, it looked really strong. But actually, Ricky, the end result, the end sales, it did not work well. So we stopped doing that, and then we did a different thing, even though it's serving the same market, that had a 5x increase in price that produced a much better response. So what was your thought process, or what allowed you to figure out the better product? Because obviously, originally, this was her best idea, Lisa. Right, this was their best idea. They thought that this was going to work. So we don't go out there trying to... let me think of a really shitty idea, Chris, and see if it works, right? We go with our best idea, but then got the feedback. What was the thought process about? How did you figure out A, B, and C is going to work better than X, Y, Z?
I guess it came from some of the feedback from Nikki and the mentor team about the quality of people that were on the program and the challenges they were having. It was just taking them loads of time to work through.
Right. Yeah. So, and correct me if I misspeak, because this is a simplification, but it's a low price point program, and what you saw with that low price point program was people that didn't meet the criteria.
Yeah.
So, and often those more difficult customers are simply because they haven't got the money to be a customer that you want. So one of the solutions to that, or one of the solutions, was a significant price difference, so a much higher price product, right? Any other distinctions, or was that the primary thing? Was there any other changes in the way it was positioned?
Yeah, it met their needs more. So when we were having families approach us and want to train a dog for their child, for instance, if they've, I don't know, a child's got autism or ADHD or anxiety or whatever it might be, they were looking at our previously very low price program as a solution, but actually we weren't able to best serve them. It wasn't particularly profitable. There was a lot of time by the sales team spent running around, and a lot of time by our mentor team spent running around after them, and we just went, actually, this is just, we could serve them in a much better way if we deliver a much higher level of training but charge them appropriately. Yeah.
Love it. Very nice. Any final thoughts?
On WhatsApp, just to extend on that a little bit, we trialled something called 11 Labs, which is voice note on WhatsApp.
Yeah, salespeople.
Crap out of me.
I've heard samples of my voice, and I've seen a few people that I know that have done it, even with the deep fake videos now, and it's frightening. If you didn't know them, you'd go, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would pass for that.
Yeah, so our five salespeople, we have done the voice sampling. They now, because obviously they couldn't possibly send out like 100 voice notes a day, but with our automation, they do. So every applicant can have a personalised voice note from the person that they're going to speak to in a day or two's time, so they can hear about them. And that AI voice sounds like the person, but they also can use their first name and their dog's name, and it just sounds brilliant. And personalised video is the next thing that we want to bring in, because we just think it's a step forward from voice note.
So, and for those that are kind of a little bit lost now or a little bit scared by this AI, I kind of go, you don't really have a choice. Like, you don't have a choice, because if the competition are going to do it, you need to figure out how to defend against it.
Yeah.
All right, very good. I love this. Give it up for Kat.
I
hope you enjoyed that episode. Three things you need to do now. Number one, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you do not miss an episode. Also, get on over to Amazon to get a copy of my latest book, Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity, 9.5 Steps to Improving Your Profits and Cash Flow. Also, join our Facebook group, the Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity community, to connect with other business owners.